Is everyone comfortable? We're so glad to see so many here. There may be a few more join us, and as usual, the open chairs are at the front, but that will be okay. And on behalf of the family of Marcia Slopeman, of which there are many here, would you raise your hands if you're related as family some way? Isn't that nice? On behalf of this family, and on behalf of the Restoration Branch Church of the Church of Jesus Christ here in Lexington, and our pastor, Elder Val Brotherton, we're happy to have you here and to see so many who have gathered. I am a firm believer that our churches need to be vitally in the forefront of hosting our communities and drawing our people together. And so I am glad that you have come today. There are many of you who are from the community. There are many of you from her profession. There are many of you acquaintances from around the world, perhaps. You are welcome to this time of sharing and remembrance, and let it be a time of the worship of Jesus Christ. Personally, I've had the privilege of many responsibilities with this family, and it has been a joy to be able to be with them and to serve them. And I'm humbled, as I know Brother Anderson is, to share in this service together with you. I know that Marcia has picked out some of the songs that Marcia Slopeman enjoyed and would have liked to the best of her ability. And we have selected one song, and Marcia said, well, I don't know that that was one of Marcia's favorite or not, but as we turn to number 31, and your books are under your seat, behind your knees there, or else try to share. And as I looked at this song, I just couldn't help but see how many things in the song would have appealed to Marcia. You see, it talks about the flowers, the sun and the clouds, works, the fields, the meadows, the sea, and I'm sure she has seen the sea before many times, the birds, the chorus of joy, the living, the brotherhood, the victory, and the triumph song of life. I thought, I think Marcia would like this. Now, if you know Marcia, Marcia did not sing Wimpy. She gave it her full strength. And that's the way we ought to sing this song. So as Marcia plays this, we will stand to sing, and then we'll have a prayer to open our service. Thank you. Come to thee in prayer at the beginning of this hour, thankful for the opportunity that draws us here, being brought here because of common love and respect to Sister Marcia Sloatman. And so we have gathered. But we come into this place, which is known as a place of thine abode, to recognize that the commonality among us two is that God is our Father, the author, the sustainer, and the finisher of life. And so we give thee thanks and praise, and thankful for the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, whom Marcia chose as her personal master. Grace us with thy Spirit, that those things that are shared within this hour would be of uplift. We will share a chuckle and a laugh. We will shed a tear, no doubt. But let thy Spirit rest upon us to find joy as we have come out to be together here in this place. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Twice recently, an experience has happened to me that caused me to raise my eyebrows when I have planned to read some things and have come to my knowledge that they had already been shared a previous time. And ever since the untimely passing of Marcia, I had been thinking about these words that I'm going to share with you, only to find out that just a couple years ago, I shared the same words for Brother Terry's service. But I just could not help but think about this as I made preparation, realizing that for many people in this world, the passing from life is not as it would have been expected. And a little bit untimely and quick, wasn't it? But the words say, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. The day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. If we do not approve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. I believe Marcia had made preparation. Some things that I recall about her that I would share. One of the greatest things about her was her generosity. It was her desire to always be helpful, always be a part of the community, the school, 4-H, whatever function it was. And in fact, her generosity was to the extreme. I can remember at food stands at school that if we needed a couple dozen hot dogs, Marcia would go to Sam's Club and bring back a couple 3 dozen packages of hot dogs. And I remember, too, that if she would go to the store and find one beautiful hanging basket of flowers, she would come home with probably 12 or 15 of them and hang them all the way around the house. And she loved to be able to host her family and loved ones at the table that was so important to her in her memory. She loved to be able to provide those meals and to set up all the chairs around that long table wherever she could find them and host people. And she loved her family, both the close family and all that were a part of it. And she had a pride in her genealogy. And I remember many times her talking about her ancestors, fondly so. She would know people in the community, and she loved her community. And every so often I would ask her about someone, and she would fill in every detail that I needed to know, and then some, about who was related to who and when and where. And I always enjoyed that. She loved her home. She loved its meaning to her. She loved her antiques and the things that were meaningful to her. And one of the great things was she had such a dream. Be enjoyed, and bless her heart. She loved her profession. And there may be some here who joined with her in that work. And I believe it was her desire to give 50 years to her profession, which she did. And that was a goal. These are just a few of the things that come to our mind. But you know, as we share about Marcia today, we also testify of the love of God. The prophet Malachi, in just a page or so before the New Testament is printed, either himself or on behalf of his people weighed the things of society. And it seems like he kind of had questions, and he was mulling over in his mind what seemed to be kind of like we do today. But then he came to the realization. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his son or his daughter that serveth him. May the Lord provide a blessing to you as we have read those words. I know the obituary is printed, but I want to read it in your hearing and also for the archiving of this service so that others might have opportunity to have that as part of the history. Marcia Ann Slotman, March 19, 1950 to February 17, 2024. Marcia Slotman, a devoted Christian, loving mother and grandmother, dedicated nurse midwife, proud member of the Wellington community, peacefully passed away, surrounded by love, on Saturday, February 17, 2024. Her legacy is one of compassion, service, and faith. Born and raised in Wellington, Missouri, Marcia was a shining example of grace and integrity. After graduating from Wellington Napoleon High School in 1968, she attended the University of Missouri Columbia for her bachelor in nursing degree, and, among other things, was a proud member of Marching Mizzou. Following that, she earned her master's degree in midwifery from Yale University. Alongside her husband, Terry, she felt the call to serve her country and joined the United States Air Force. At the completion of her military service, she embarked on a remarkable career as a nurse midwife, dedicating an incredible 50 years to bringing over 1,000 precious lives into this world. Her commitment to her patients went beyond medical care. She saw her work as a divine calling from God, educating women about their health care needs and providing comfort and support during one of life's most profound experiences. Marcia's faith was central to her life, and she was a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, Lexington Restoration Branch. Her kindness and generosity touched the lives of all those who knew her, and her love for her family was unwavering. She is now joyfully reunited with her beloved husband of 47 years, Terry Slopeman, in the embrace of heaven. In addition to her husband, Marcia was preceded in death by her parents, Wilbert and Esther Farmeyer, and her brother, Bruce Farmeyer. Marcia leaves a legacy of love and service. She is survived by her daughter, Courtney Michael, her husband, Richard, and their children, Andrew, Matthew, and Rebecca. Her son, Kevin Schlotman, and his wife, Erica, and their children, Michael, Marley, and Monroe. Her son, Keith Slopeman, and his partner, Melissa, his ex-wife, Katie, and children, Adeline and Chance, and his stepson, Blake, and her son, Kyle Slopeman, and his children, Brooklyn and Maddox. She is also survived by her siblings, I believe all of whom are here today. Is that correct? Murnell Colster, Melody Kemp, Michelle Tipton, and Chet Farmeyer. Marcia's final wish was for a celebration of life when the warmth of summer fills the air with and the flowers are in bloom. Memorial offerings can be made to her two favorite charities, Love Over Circumstances and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Marcia's spirit will continue to live on in the hearts of all those who were fortunate enough to know her.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl, and remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, Ride to Jesus, ride to Jesus, and live. Oh, and when the love spills over, and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.
3 years and 10 days ago, we met together as friends and family and shared in a service for Brother Terry. And a day or two before Marcia died, when I went to the hospital to visit, she said, "I want you to do my service. And I want you to say the same thing you said during Terry's." I said, "Well, I'm not sure I remember all that I said, but I'll say some things, and if any of you remember, I apologize for repeating myself." But she believed very much in Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And as Brett so wonderfully sang, we will share together for the next few moments about this God and this Jesus. From 1 Peter, the third chapter, first chapter, third verse. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, our experience tells us that people do not return from the grave. At the heart of our sadness when death strikes, it is a certainty that in this life we will not see our loved one again on this earth. We attend funerals, celebrations of life, memorial services, and we grieve collectively our loss. But we do not expect to be greeted at the door by the person who has died. Nothing new there. It's something we have come to expect in life. But in light of this, it should not be surprising that Jesus' disciples were reluctant to believe that he had risen from the dead. Following the testimony of the women who had been at the tomb, who had seen an angel, who had seen the empty tomb,
And they even saw Jesus himself. And in Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Among those who were closest to Jesus and had heard his remarkable teachings and witnessed his powerful ministry, some doubted that Jesus was actually alive again. And I've met, and you've met, and maybe you are one who wondered about this Jesus in doubt that maybe he was nothing more than a teacher. But the honest doubts of the disciples soon turned to joy and hope as they embraced the reality of the risen Jesus. In Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead, Christ defeated mortality on its own turf, declaring the power of God to give us new life and new hope. Paul wrote these words in Romans, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Do you realize that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, as the scripture says, and his Spirit, whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, dwells within you? No other event in human history is more significant. No other event is full of immediate hope and ultimate victory for a person who believes in Jesus Christ. Christ's resurrection is the bud of promise. Our resurrection will be the flower of fulfillment. As we search the scriptures, we realize that Jesus did not conduct funerals. He conducted resurrections. Christ's death and resurrection says to us that all of life's disappointments, its heartaches, its sorrows, its defeats, are touched with hope, are touched with resurrection power, with life. I want to share a few more thoughts. We know that the final heartbeat of a Christian is not the mysterious conclusion to a life of meaningless existence. It is rather the grand beginning to a life with our Savior that will never end. And Marcia knew that. And in her final days, when she knew that the end was near, she looked forward to meeting her Savior. And though Marcia's death is a loss to us, it is, in fact, an investment in eternity. And what an investment we have Marcia there. For Marcia's death, it was but the beginning of a new life. Death is the golden key that opens the palace of eternity. Death is a physician to whom medicine could no longer heal. Death, in a sense, is victory over our mortality. Death is a struggle and a sweet release. Marcia's life cannot be diminished by death any more than the light of a star can be extinguished by a cloud that passes over it and keeps us from seeing it. The beauty of her life, the inspiration of her life, the guidance of her life shines as brightly as ever. And Marcia's light especially shines through the multitude of lives that she touched. The smiles and tears that you have shared will probably come again. And these very smiles and tears, those tears glisten with the memories of a special lady. And in the midst of death, God still gives us His grace to celebrate life. And so we are celebrating a wonderful life this day. From time to time, don't we all have struggles and crises in our life? But even in the midst of those difficulties that we each have walked through and will walk through more yet in our life, we can know that our Lord is not waiting to conduct the funeral of dead hopes and dreams. Instead, Christ makes the morning where if we choose to live our lives for Him and with Him, new life and new hope will heal the troubled areas of our heart. And isn't that what we want and need? The psalmist said, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." The joy of which I speak is not the absence of sorrow and suffering, but it is the presence of God. And oh, how God desires to share with all of us in all of life, and especially in times such as this. But He will not force Himself into your life. He must be invited. And every day He sends to us an invitation, and His arms are extended towards us, and He says, "Come unto Me and repent." And sometimes we hesitate, because we haven't had much of a walk, or our lives have been such that we've done some things that no one would want to see on the big screen and behind us or over there. If it was, we would probably all crawl under the chair. And yet, He sends that invitation that says, no matter what has been in your life, you are welcome, and I love you. The choice to come unto Him is ours. And so the question is, how do we choose to live our life? Do we live only to our own worldly pleasures, serving only ourselves? Or do we choose to live for God and for His Son Jesus in service to others? And Marcia's life was filled with devotion and love and service to others. For you see, what you do on earth matters for heaven's sake. The choices you make today, here, determine your place in the hereafter. The Lord can turn every sorrow, every sadness into an opportunity to show us that eternity must never be ignored. As I thought about Marcia's life, I thought of this little reading called A Little Parable for Mothers. And I think it speaks so powerfully of her, but it speaks also of so many of you who are mothers. The mother, the young mother, set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long? She asked. And her guide said, yes, and the way is hard. But the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy. And she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came and the storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of the day, for I have taught my children courage. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead. And the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother grew weary. But at all times she said to the children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed. And when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. And evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God." And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years, and her children were tall and strong, and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her. And at last, they came to a hill. And beyond the hill, they could see a shining road and golden gates wide open. And the mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey. And now I know that the end is better than the beginning. For my children can walk alone, and their children after them." And the children said, "Mother, you will always walk with us, even when you have gone through the gates." And then they watched and stood as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence." This life is a school. It's a probationary period to let the Lord know if we are serious about Him and His work. Death is the commencement, the new beginning with God. And I am convinced that in eternity we will have a chance to fulfill all our hopes and righteous desires, and to complete the work we've only but begun in this life. It is a continuation, and perhaps in an environment with fewer limitations and frustrations, and one with greater insights. And finally, Courtney and Kevin and Keith and the rest of Marcia's family and friends, you have the promise of the Holy Comforter in these words as found in John 14, 16 through 18. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Might this be your and our experience as we look and experience joy that lies ahead for each of us if we choose to walk with the Lord as best we can. Earth has no sorrow that heaven does not feel. May all of us begin today or continue to place our trust and confidence in God and attempt to understand what He wants you to do with the rest of your life. And listen how He speaks to us. And again, verily I say unto you, my friends, I leave these sayings with you to ponder in your hearts with this commandment which I give unto you, that you shall call upon me while I am near. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is never too late in life to establish a better relationship with God and His Son Jesus. With Marcia's death, the world is poorer. Yet we can rejoice because of the tremendous afterglow of her life. And finally, Revelations 2 and 10 says it so wonderfully and powerfully. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. May God bless you as you continue your faith journey, a fabulous adventure in trusting Him. God bless each one of you.
The words that you have heard are true. Behind me is a depiction of the crown of life that awaits you. What's been said to us is reality, and it's a representation of the vision that we need to have in life. When there is no vision, where there is no vision, people perish. But let me tell you, and you know that Marcia had a vision. And so she didn't just die. She lives. I've appreciated the ministry of Brother Eldon many times as we have ministered together, even at the hospital bedside and in the homes. Hope we have more occasions. You know, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to share a memory or something that's significant that ought to be known. Let me suggest that if you desire to do that, we will bring the microphone to you as close as we can. And if you would tell us who you are, because again, this will kind of go down in history and things like that and want to be remembered. Tell us who you are and your relationship or presence that's represented today. It would be good to be brief. The assignment at this time is not to be funny or jovial. We can do that in the other room. There are some things that will bring smiles to our face. There are some things to be told here. There's some things to be told another time. But what are those things that you would like to share for us that are significant in your experience with Marcia Slotman and with our Lord Jesus? And if you will stand in your place, we will have a microphone brought to you if there are those who would like to speak. Right up front, Brother Ron. And give us your name so everybody knows who you are and that you're a grandson, aren't you?
Hi, my name is Andrew, and this isn't really a memory. It's just something I like to say in remembrance. Uh, Hello, family and friends of my grandma Marcia. We are gathered here today to celebrate the life of her. Now in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now what that means is whoever believes in Jesus shall not go to hell, but heaven. And my grandma was a woman of God and taught me how to be a man of God and to keep my faith strong with God. She also taught me how to be a peacemaker, and I know she would want me to live my life, bringing peace wherever I go. Thank you.
This young man has a vision from his grandmother. Thank you. Okay.
No, I don't.
Oh, change your mind. Okay. The thought was there. Courtney.
Hi, guys. My name is Courtney Michael, and I was Marcia's daughter. And but it hasn't. To the main story, to the basement. And so we were frantically. So I was careful. I did not want to dump that box. One day, and those pink flamingos were hanging. Terry's place. But I don't think you saved those, did you, Courtney? They're probably in a dumpster someplace. Terry never could understand why we did not like his pink flamingos. It was easy for me to visit Marcia in the hospital and at Courtney's. Steve and I thought we were going to give ministry, but we received ministry from Marcia. And you know that it wasn't a very long time, but I never heard one complaint from Marcia that whole time, except one. And she looked at me and she said, "Marcia, they're making me wear Depends." But that was the only complaint that Marcia ever that I ever heard from Marcia. While she was in the hospital, one day I texted her with just a very short scripture and a short phrase from a hymn. And she texted me right back and she said, "Marcia, would you please do that for me every day?" And so I did that for Marcia as long as I could. I was sitting with Marcia on Friday before she passed away on Saturday. And I think Courtney was with me, and Richard was in there, and he was getting ready to leave. And he said, "Bye, Marcia." Well, I thought he was talking to me. And Marcia was just laying there, and you don't realize that they're aware of what's going on, even though they don't respond. But when Richard said, "Bye, Marcia," Marcia's hand just went up like that. She didn't say anything. She was saying goodbye to Richard. Marcia and I shared a lot of things. We both lived in Wellington. We're both Marcia Ann. We both spell it M-A-R-C-I-A. We're both related to Terry. But I think our deepest relationship was the gospel that we shared with each other. And I've always thought, you know how some things you just realize that God's hand has been there. How he took a girl from North Missouri and my husband from Southern Iowa and Terry from Omaha, Nebraska, and planted us all in the same community. And I really feel that God had a hand in that. If I could have chosen my sisters, Marcia would be one of them. She's just always been around. But now I have her memories, which I'm very thankful for. I loved her.
My Marcia here is first cousin of Terry, so that explains the relationship. Anyone else? Brett?
I'm Brett Smith. I just grew up going to church with Marcia here. I think the first time she heard me play that or sing that song, she made me promise I'd sing it at her funeral and at Terry's. And I would always tell her, she'd mention to me several times, oh, it's going to be so far away, don't worry about it. So I'm glad I was able to do that today. But for me, Marcia, just really showed me unconditional love. I felt like every time I saw her, no matter what was going on in my life, she was just always so encouraging. And I will miss that, but I will always remember those encouraging words she had for me.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm Erica. I'm the daughter-in-law, and I'm speaking for my children. They just really love Grandma. And they miss her. And so Mikey wanted me to share that, and Marley did too. And I've never met anyone as welcome to me without question. And I'm not a talker, so I won't make this long. I just couldn't have asked for a better mother-in-law. And we miss her.
Thank you. Am I overlooking anybody? We're going to adjourn in a few moments to the other room and share some more things. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Find life because of the doorposts, the pillars, the home, and the relationship of Marcia Slotman and her Savior Jesus Christ. There is food prepared for everyone. You are more than welcome to stay, and we hope that you will, and continue visiting. And I want to recognize that there were some waiting to speak to the family when time kind of got run out there. And I want you to have time to share with the family. So please plan to be with us in the adjoining room or here in the sanctuary if you wish. It is a pleasure to share the testimony of Jesus Christ and the memories of Marcia Sloatman.
Sitting a while, feel free to stand while we close with prayer. Go ahead. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your most precious name. And we delight in calling you our God and our Creator and Sustainer. You are the giver of life. And we have met this late afternoon, and these cloud of witnesses are standing before you. And we have had opportunity to remember a grand lady. And we're thankful for her life and for all the many lives that she touched. Father, you have given each one of us gift and talents. Help us, Father, that we might be able to use them well for you. And in our times of difficulties and stress and hardships, might we always remember that you are all faithful and we can trust in you no matter what. For always, even in those difficult times, all will be well with our soul if we attempt to let you into our life and walk with us through the valleys as well as on the mountaintops. For you created us to be a people of joy. And so we are thankful for you. We're thankful for your Son Jesus who came and showed us how to live a life and went through unimaginable pain and torture for us, that we could have joy in this life and the promise of a life yet to come. And so we're grateful for that resurrection power that's offered to us every day. Bless these, your children, as they continue in fellowship. We ask a blessing of strength and nourishment on the food, and would pray for safety for each one as they travel back to their doorstep. How great thou art, O Father, and how wonderful is your Son, Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Go in peace and mingle.